You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's hour two on this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. You know, I love myself a good headline. You know, you breeze through all the websites and all of a sudden you see one that says, quarantine quarterback, question mark? Keeping Aaron Rodgers off COVID list must be Packers' priority. And I went, yeah. And a good wide receiver. That would be the priorities there. Keeping Aaron Rodgers off COVID list must be Packers' priority. Well, I don't know. You drafted Jordan Love. If he goes on the COVID list, you got your backup. Isn't that why you drafted him? His snot goes out of my nose there, laughing at my own joke. Welcome to the program, already in progress. It's hour two. Dan and the Danettes. You can watch on YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. You can also listen. We're on 362 radio stations around America. And if you'd like to email, tweet, or dial us up, you can do all of those as well. Kevin Durant on the Play for Keeps podcast had his pick on which team is going to win the NBA title.
If I could choose, I would go Clippers, Bucks in the championship, and I'll go with the Clippers. That talent is just undeniable to me. When you got PG and Kawhi, that just at the wings, that's what you need to win is wings. You got those two at the wings, arguably the top three, top four at the wing position on one team. And then you got the two best bench. Well, not the two best, but the best combo. It perfectly fit a big and a guard.
All right, so Kevin Durant thinks the Clippers are going to win the title facing the Milwaukee Bucks. I mentioned in the first hour, we look at the Lakers and we go, okay, number one seed in the West. Well, there's no real home court advantage. So you have to go, okay, let's move on from that. The question is, who are you going to play first round of the postseason? You have the Pelicans. It's going to come down to, I think, the Pelicans and the Blazers fighting it out. Memphis without Jaren Jackson. He's out for the rest of the season. Torn meniscus. And they have a tough schedule. They have Oklahoma City, Toronto, Boston, and Milwaukee. Meanwhile, the Pelicans have Sacramento, Washington, San Antonio, Sacramento, and Orlando. Not exactly murderer's row there. The Blazers have Denver, the Clippers, 76ers, Dallas, and Brooklyn. If you're going to handicap this, the Pelicans have the easiest route in, but they have a little bit of, they have to make up a couple of games here to get there. And also, if you're the eighth seed and you're facing the ninth seed for the right to face the Lakers, as the eighth seed in a three-game series, you must just win one game. If you're the ninth seed, you have to win two games to advance to face the Lakers. And back to the Lakers, I love what they're doing with their bench. Caruso, Kuzma, Deion Waiters. But the starting lineup, there's some concern here. And I think if you start to look at these other teams in the West, Clippers got offense, Nuggets got offense, Jazz don't have offense, Thunder, I don't know what their numbers are. I'm going to guess Thunder have some pretty good offensive numbers. Houston has good offensive numbers. The Mavericks have good offensive numbers. Blazers have good offensive numbers. So the Lakers are, they're going to have to find a starting lineup that's going to, I don't want them in a hole when the bench guys come in. And we saw that when they faced Toronto. You got to get off to a good start here. And just, you're not having Avery Bradley and Rajon Rondo. That affects the whole rotation here. It's just something to file away. The Lakers' offense and their rotations, I think, will be a concern, should be a concern with Frank Vogel and that staff. Yeah, Paul.
For this entire season, the Lakers are seventh in the West in scoring offense, but they're number one in shutting down opponents, number one in scoring defense.
Yeah. Well, that helped with Avery Bradley. He's a really good on-ball defender. JaVale McGee has helped out an awful lot. Yeah, McLevin.
I don't get the Clippers thing, by the way. I know that they have all that talent, but have they shown you anything that makes you think that they're even going to get to the conference finals?
Well, I think I'd like to see them fully assembled. So if you get everybody in there, and let me see what that lineup is going to look like. That's the deepest team. And you've got Kawhi, who has proven on a big stage that he can produce. I'm waiting for Paul George to be great. But they have a lot of pieces there. Yeah, McLevin.
But don't you need teamwork and gelling and all that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's going to be an issue. You know, for these teams that are just sort of you know, moving along at a leisurely pace here. And then you're going to hit the ground running, or at least you hope to, when the postseason starts. That's why I think people like the Blazers. If the Blazers face the Lakers, they like the Blazers because the Blazers have to fight to get into the postseason. And they're going to have that playoff mentality to start the first game of the postseason. Now, we'll see teams when they just start out, or if there's a layoff as far as you facing a quality opponent or something on the line, it usually takes that team at least one game to get ready. And in the bubble where there's no home court advantage, you can't afford to get off to slow starts here. But that's why I think people look at the Pelicans and say, all right, could they, you know, be a team that gives the Lakers trouble? Yeah, I think we looked at that matchup before the the season shut down and said, you know, the Pelicans might be facing the Lakers in the opening round of the playoffs. And it might turn out to be the case. Because if Zion's coming back and playing 25 minutes, I think this will be the true test of what's going on with Zion and his minutes restriction. You go from 15 minutes, 13, 15, and then you go to 25. Do you go any further than 25? Because you have to win these games. If you have a minutes restriction, then stick to it. But be strategic, and when you play Zion, play him in the second half, if that's the case. But make sure you stay true to that, and that if that's your blueprint here for him, then great. I think that you're going to have a couple of nervous, anxious moments where Alvin Gentry is going to go, how many minutes he played? He's played 24 and a half. All right, we'll leave him in another minute. Yeah, Paulie.
But I wonder if there's a sliding scale to this at all, because Alvin Gentry, game one, was upset. You could tell he's upset after the game because he stuck to the minutes the doctors said. But do the doctors alter their decision based off the competitive nature of the team? Do they need this game or not? Or do they go in and say, here's our number. It cannot be floated. It cannot be changed, even if you need him for 10 more minutes.
But I think it's going to change almost quarter to quarter with him.
But it shouldn't.
No,
because I mean he's the same person he was 4 days ago.
Based on what I was told when I said, "Hey, you know, you're going to play him 3 minutes at a time," I think he's got a better chance or worse chance of getting injured by playing in a short burst because he's going to want to try to do too much. I'd rather that he paced himself. Now he doesn't look in great shape. But he's such a phenomenal athlete, and he just plays this bully ball. He's going at you. You may block it the first time. He's going to get it, and he's going to put it back in. He's just so powerful inside. But if you get any kind of consistency, if Brandon Ingram is great, and you got Zion, Lonzo Ball can hit some three-pointers, Redick provides some damage there, you know, they're going to be tough. You know, these young teams, they're tough. Lakers got an old team. Yeah, Paul.
Jeff, I think it was Jeff Van Gundy who was talking about how one of the reasons he thinks Zion needs to be in better shape is to run the break. He said that nobody wants to get in front of him on the break. People will move out of his way like they do the past 5 years with LeBron. You see LeBron on the break, sometimes he just goes right down because no one wants a piece of 265 pounds.
Yeah. He doesn't look in shape, and I understand why they want to limit his minutes, but I think that they're going to roll the dice here. And you're probably going to get into a situation where you're playing maybe a little more than you had planned to. All right, McLovin, what's the poll question we're going to go with?
Well, I put up for the first hour a poll question just to see if anyone copied it. Whose career would you rather want, Jim Thome or Ben Zobrist, which a lot of shows are going with?
Yeah, we need to change that because it was applicable in the first hour for a little while. I was just talking about Mike Trout. He may end his career and really almost like a Ted Williams career where he has nothing to show for it in the postseason.
Okay, Thome won 73%.
All right, well, thank you.
What do you got? First of all, Tommy's awesome, but he was.
All right, move on.
Paulie asks, do you want to see, if you hate the Lakers, them lose in the first round or lose in the NBA Finals Game 7? By the way, do a lot of people hate the Lakers? I wasn't sure if they're in that Notre Dame-Duke category right now.
I think it comes down to LeBron. I don't know if you look at this Laker team and say, boy, I don't like them. It comes down to you either like LeBron or you don't. And I don't know of any other player where you go, there's so many people rooting for and so many people rooting against. And you would probably have that with LeBron.
Well, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, very polarizing. Yes, absolutely. Yes, McLeod.
So how would you, what do you think people would answer that poll?
I have no idea.
Because, I mean, you don't hate the Lakers. I think people would love to see them go out the first round. I think they'd be like, oh, we told you kind of thing.
Well, you know, we're the main sports station in Los Angeles, and I'm going to guess that those people, they love their Lakers. They want to see them at least go to the NBA Finals.
We're also big in Portland, though.
Yes, we are. But there's more people in L.A. than Portland. We're huge in Portland. But if Portland, yeah, they probably would. I'm going to guess first round. Because if LeBron gets back to another NBA Finals, how many would that be for him? Would that be 10? The fact that we don't know. And I know people would go, yeah, but he lost. I mean, like, just to get there, it should be an accomplishment, an achievement, something to be proud of. But for so many years, if you got to the Super Bowl and lost, you basically had a bad season. Like, yeah, but you lost in the Super Bowl by 21. We got to the Super Bowl. But LeBron got there. Yes, Tom.
It is a shame, like with Jim Kelly and the Bills, that more people don't say, you won the AFC Championship 4 times in a row, you got to the Super Bowl, but you'll never hear that.
If they won 2 of those, if they went 2-2, we would look at Jim Kelly differently, those Buffalo Bills differently. We would talk about them as a baby dynasty of what was almost a dynasty, or maybe it was a dynasty. Going to 4 Super Bowls, they won 2, we'd look at them differently. But we do not give them credit that they went to 4 in a row. Yeah, but they lost. Okay. I look at Brady that if you're going to go to 9 Super Bowls, I mean, it's amazing. It's so hard to go to 1. Like Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are talking about, we're going to win 4, 5, 6. Maybe. Maybe. If they win 2 more, I would be surprised. But what Brady did and what, you know, LeBron did, I mean, it's truly phenomenal to get teams to the Super Bowl. Yeah, Paul.
The last time LeBron James was not in the NBA Finals was 2010. He's been to 7 straight.
No, because they didn't make the playoffs.
I'm talking about his run. He went to 7 straight. So I'm going back to 2010. He had a 7-year run where he appeared in the finals.
No. Yeah, because he didn't make the playoffs last year. Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It's just same thing with Brady. What are you?
Don't make me say the argument. You're going to make me be the guy. It's the East. Anybody could have gotten out of the East. It's like, and the Patriots dominated the AFC East.
Why didn't another team do it?
Because all the good teams were in the West.
I know, but wasn't there another team in the East that could just go to the finals?
They're like the 7 best teams.
Wasn't
in
there
the
another
league?
Football team that could go in the AFC?
We all saw Fritzy's Broncos beat the worst crowd of AFC playoff teams ever and get demolished by the NFC year after year. There's imbalance.
That's a long time ago. What did the Broncos do against Cam Newton?
Well, it's a different thing. Now there's a lot of balance because of the salary cap in the NFL.
How about Pittsburgh? Ravens.
What about them?
They're in the AFC.
No, I know, but now there's it's not like that was back in the NFL. There's a salary cap, so there's parity across the sport. But back in the day, there was a huge imbalance, just like there is. The West is so much better than the East now in the NBA.
Okay, so LeBron is number 1 seed. So what's going to be the argument if he wins the title this year?
It's his most, in many ways, it's his most impressive.
No, it's title. Not. What it's he did with the Cavaliers.
Most impressive trip to the finals. Yeah. To get to the finals this year.
All right, but.
I mean, who were the Cavs beating? Who was their rival in the East? I don't even remember who they'd beat.
The Celtics? Weren't they a rival?
It seemed kind of easy for a few of those years.
Okay. What about the Niners when Joe Montana won Super Bowls?
Yeah, back in the day in the NFL, it was,
okay,
it was
but,
have and have
but, okay,
not.
But like you can't pick and choose that all of a sudden you're going to go to Brady. Yeah, AFC East. Yeah, nobody was good in the AFC East. The Jets went to 2 AFC title games, didn't they, McLovin?
My God, come on.
Did they?
I don't understand how the salary cap argument, though, like has any bearing on Tom Brady.
No,
he lived in the salary cap era that you just said created parity across the league.
Right. So there's not the huge imbalance. I was just throwing in the Patriots as a dig. It was a side. But it used to be back in the day, the NFC was so much better than the AFC. And now in the NBA, it's always the West has been so much better than the East for a while. That LeBron himself said it. He's like, yeah, this is amazing. If I can get through this West, that's a big thing.
Nobody said that when, you know, the Celtics were winning titles with Larry Bird. And they went, yeah, but what about the East? Or whoever was coming out of the West.
Right. Back then, they used to say it about the West because the Lakers would beat a bunch of nobodies.
But nobody brought that up.
Except me. Young Andrew Perloff was like, ah, come on. The Lakers just got an automatic buy into the finals. Then the Rockets beat them twice, by the way.
When did you become a hater?
I'm not a hater.
Like,
I'm just saying.
Yesterday, it's Luka. Now you don't like LeBron.
I do like LeBron, but
you don't respect the Patriots with what they did.
Or the Peyton Manning's Colts for winning the AFC South. Don't forget that
one.
Yeah,
I know. Believe me. I remember
you read my essays on that. I'm just stating someone had to say the LeBron argument because we all know it. That's what people talk about in sports bars. It's like, oh, LeBron got out of the East. I'm not saying it's fair, but that is, you know, that's the party line.
So he accidentally got out of the East and went to what, 9? NBA Finals.
Right, but people say it's not as valuable. I mean, the win over when Cleveland won, that was incredible.
That was pretty good. They beat a really, really good team that year. They beat a team that won 73 games. Yeah. Somehow, they got out of the East and faced off with the Golden State. No, nobody was injured, were they?
Curry. Tweaked his knee, missed two series. Wasn't the same Curry.
Oh, so he wasn't the same guy.
Asterisk.
Well, then Kawhi has an asterisk next to his name.
That's a given.
Right?
They all have asterisks.
Do you hate Kawhi too?
I don't hate. Just because I give Akeem 2 asterisk titles doesn't mean that I hate him.
I will not allow you to give my Akeem Olajuwon 2 asterisk titles. I love Akeem. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll get to phone calls. Let's come up with another poll question here, okay?
Do you want to put that Lakers one up, or is that too L.A. specific? I'm not sure.
Well, it's L.A. It's a negative.
Yeah.
L.A. specific.
What if we put up, who do people want to see as the 8 seed? The Blazers, the Pelicans, or the Grizzlies?
Nobody's going to pick the Grizzlies.
Right, and maybe they don't even. Maybe the Spurs or the Suns will be ahead of them anyway.
Yeah. Well, they're wounded now. You know, even with Jaren Jackson, like they were at least formidable, but not now. And with the schedule getting tougher for them, you know, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. 19 after the hour. We'll get to your phone calls coming up here. Take a break. Back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Hiring can be difficult, certainly during these times, but you want to open your doors to finding the right person for a specialized role. It's really tough to do. Housing Wire can relate. They needed to hire an ambitious reporter to cover news stories on the U.S. housing markets. So they turned to ZipRecruiter. And that's how Housing Wire found Alexandra Roja. Alexandra never imagined that she could get a reporter job during COVID-19 because hiring was frozen. So she created a profile on ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter matched her skills with Housing Wire's reporter job because her degree and writing skills were a perfect fit for the role. Housing Wire received her application only 4 hours after they posted the job. And a few weeks later, she started her dream career. Let ZipRecruiter help you hire somebody and see why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try it now for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. All righty. There's a chance for somebody to win up to $2 million for a perfect game of trivia and a Callaway Tour player win. You know you're going to be looking at your phone during the broadcast, so why not play a golf trivia game while you're doing it? CallawayGolf.com/fanbeat. Get every question right in one of the 4 rounds, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Win up to $1 million if you get all of the questions right in one of the rounds and a Callaway Tour player wins the PGA Championship. The prize is doubled to $2 million. Learn more. CallawayGolf.com Fanbeat to play now. Seton says, I'm going to be put on the spot coming up. Oh, wait, you're going to do that now?
Well, there's no better time than to put you on the spot right now, but we could wait.
No, we can do it because I came in yesterday. I said, you know, I played Harding Park where they're playing the PGA Championship. Lake Merced is right there.
Do you remember what you shot?
No, I conveniently forgot what I shot at Harding Park. You know, the emphasis on hard, it's really a very hard golf course. What is the name of this game?
It's called the Let's Put Dan on the Spot trivia game.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun. So it's going to be, very difficult
what
questions.
What sport?
Golf.
Oh.
Yeah, it's for the PGA Championship to celebrate.
Okay.
Such as, first question. Who has shot the most rounds in the 60s at majors over the past 25 years? Who has shot the most rounds in the 60s at majors over the past 25 years?
Okay.
Open to the crowd. Open to the group, by the way.
Now, are you saying 25 years to bring somebody else into the equation? So Tiger would be the obvious answer, but Tiger's not the answer. Would you give me that Tiger is not the right answer?
I would say that you are very close with that. Yes, Tiger.
Okay.
Tiger sounds like the answer, but is not the answer. Tiger is second.
Phil Mickelson has the most rounds in the 60s.
Phil Mickelson has 109 rounds in the 60s. You want to take a guess at Tiger's?
90.
99 rounds in the 60s.
Okay.
Very good, very good. Now,
okay.
Who has the most birdies of any player in the majors over the past 25 years? Who has the most birdies of any player in the majors over the last 25 years?
Well, I'm figuring if Phil has the most rounds in the 60s, Phil has the most birdies.
Amazing, yes.
Did Phil Mickelson send us this game?
You're on fire.
I think Callaway sent this to us.
I tried to change it. I tried to trick you up with going two Phil questions, right, back to back. Yeah, Phil has over 1,300 birdies. That's pretty good. So we'll stick with Phil here.
Okay.
Boy, Phil
this is exciting.
Was leading after 36 holes at the Travelers right after he turned 50. When was the last time someone 50-plus led after 36 holes on the tour?
I was going to go Bernhard Langer.
Are you saying that because you like saying his name?
Yes, I do. Bernhard Langer. Everybody says it's Langer. I go, no, it's Langer.
That name shouldn't be so much fun to say, but for some reason it is.
Bernhard Langer.
And you kind of go, instead of Bernard, you kind of go Bernhard.
Bernhard Langer. Now, I know Freddie Couples led after one round of the Masters. But I don't know if he led after two rounds of the Masters. I'm going to go Bernhard Langer.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, he should have stuck with your gut.
Nah!
Fred Couples, the Masters, 2012.
Okay.
Dang line.
Okay.
All right, next question.
Okay.
Brooks Koepka has had the most top six major finishes with 8 total since 2017. Can you guess who's second? Most top six major finishes since 2007. Brooks is 1 with 8. Who is second?
Ooh.
Paul, you seem to have a good... you seem to be fired up about this one. You want to take a guess?
Jason Day.
I'm sorry, no.
Ew. I think this is a Callaway-feeling trivia question. Or the entire contest.
Or they're just that dominant.
Okay, so I have to find somebody, a Callaway golfer, who's... Gosh. So the most top six major finishes since 2017...
He's got a name like a superhero.
Xander Schauffele.
Yes, absolutely right.
Callaway guy.
Yeah, he's got 5 top six major finishes. Let's go one more.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with golf except for the player.
Okay.
And also a Callaway guy.
Okay.
This pro grew up in Canada but can't ice skate.
Adam Hadwin.
Adam Hadwin. Yeah, you got it. All right, I'll throw one more.
Nice beard.
One more bonus. The youngest winner of the Players' Championship, can you guess who that was? And bonus round, can you guess their age? Youngest winner of the Players' Championship.
I have no idea. I mean, I would say Ricky Fowler.
That would be Siwoo Kim.
Siwoo Kim!
Age 21, the youngest player to ever graduate from the PGA Tour qualifying school just before he turned 18. Yep, Siwoo Kim.
Yes, 21. Well,
Here's a bonus one. Jack Nicklaus broke the record for the most majors at the 73 PGA in his native Ohio. I'm going to give you three courses, Dan, because you're an Ohio guy. Inverness, Canterbury, Firestone. Inverness, Canterbury, Firestone. 73 PGA.
You know, I played Firestone.
Did you bring it to his knees?
No, I did not. I got humbled by Firestone. Inverness, Canterbury. So I think it comes down to Firestone or Inverness.
You're wrong about those.
It's going to be Canterbury.
That's right,
yeah,
Dan.
I told you.
Nailed it.
Yeah, it comes down to those aren't the right answer.
Boom.
Did it. All right. I don't know what we solved there, other than I've played Harding Park, just to let you know.
Yeah, I know.
I love San Francisco. It's wonderful. All righty. Let me see. Ted in Tampa. Hey, Ted, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, great, Dan. 23 years, Army Special Operations. The guy whose first name is Tom is going to be in our local call-in show today at 1:30. So if they had one question that you all want me to ask him, what would that question be?
So Tom Brady is going to be on the show today?
His first name is Tom. 1:30 today.
So Tom at 1:30 today.
Yeah, what would you like me to ask him? I'll call in. And then number two,
okay.
The league, Tom's got a better chance this year now because the league's worst left tackle says he's not going to play this year.
What role did Tom play in getting Jimmy Garoppolo traded?
Okay, good.
But Ted, don't quote me. And, you know, don't lead with that. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'll say somebody, his first name is Dan.
No. I don't want any part of this. But good luck with that, Ted. Tom is going to be on the local show there. Yes, McLovin.
I didn't understand the worst left tackle part.
He keeps bringing up the fact that they have no offensive line.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So whenever Ted calls, he always tells me, hey, they have no offensive line.
Is that true? What's your...
Yeah. Well, it's better. I mean, they used their first-round pick on, Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa.
It's going to be a lot harder when Tom's not in the AFC East this year.
But also, Also understand this. Brady gets rid of the ball so quickly, it's different than Jameis Winston. Brady's not going to take sacks. And you have guys who can get open. He's going to get the ball away in 2 seconds. And your offensive line, just like the Patriots. How many times did you go, boy, the Patriots, that offensive line. How many Patriot linemen can you name over the last 10 years, 15 years? A handful? Right? It's a system that they have there. Yeah, McLovin.
Just the random guys who show up on TV because they were Patriots, like Saturday.
And, yeah.
Saturday was the Colts. Damian Woody.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really remember. Who was the guy who got traded to Tampa?
Oh.
Logan Mankins?
Yeah.
Yeah. You, every time you see Nate Solder, by the way, you're like, oh, yeah, Patriot. Oh, no. That was like 10 years ago he left.
He opted out, by the way. So
tonight would have been the Hall of Fame game between the Cowboys and Steelers. You know, this is where your undrafted free agents are going to have a really hard time making the roster. And, I mean, think about Tony Romo without a preseason when he was first signed by the Cowboys. He was an undrafted free agent. So you're going to have, you know, we have these long shots where guys make the team, but they get an opportunity to make the team because there is a preseason. Doug in North Carolina joins us. Hi, Doug. What do you have for me today?
Well, Dan, I've got a name of another one of the all-time baseball greats who had a kind of abysmal postseason career. But before I get to that, I would like to say if you're divvying up parts of your remains,
yes,
I would like to claim your baby blue eyes.
Oh, wow. Okay, Doug, nobody has claimed that. I said I want to be cremated and that I was going to divvy up my body in fourths for the Danettes. But, I can see if I can set the eyes aside for you, Doug.
They can be cremated in the... I don't want the actual... You know, that would
oh,
be
you don't.
Kind of spooky. No. But who knows?
Okay.
My suggestion, my recommendation is if you have to overlook his early on in his career when he was in the bullpen, but Nolan Ryan, as a starting pitcher, one of the great pitchers ever, starting rotation, didn't really have a postseason career other than 86 when he when they were playing the Mets. But other than that, he's one of the all-time greats and never really did anything in the postseason.
Yeah, he's probably the statistical anomaly when it comes to the regular season. Thank you, Doug. Because Nolan Ryan, you know, he would win 300 games, but he lost, 260 games. He always got a decision. Always got a decision. And he would, strike out 12, walk 8, give up 2 hits. He was so dominating. And he was also with the 69 Mets. He was a relief pitcher for the 69 Mets, so he got a title there. Joe in Ohio joins us. Hey, Joe.
Thank you, sir. 190, a hard 190. You guys cracked me up when you do that. thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in really quick on the whole polarizing LeBron comments. I get teased by my friends because I'm from Ohio, and I've never really been a big LeBron fan, but there's just a variety of things that he's done throughout his early career that kind of bled into his later career, starting off with how he got swept in 07, which, of course, wasn't really his fault. He didn't really have a good team around him. But then the embarrassing 2010 interview that we all know and his performance in the 2011 finals where he only scored 8 points. It's those kind of things from a great player that we respect his talent, but he hasn't always shown up. And yet when he has, if his team loses, he tends to kind of put the blame on his teammates, which is not really that flattering. But I just wanted to share that, and thanks for taking my call.
All right.
You guys rock.
Yeah. I mean, look, he's flawed. LeBron has had his moments. Absolutely. But you can't deny the greatness that you see. There's been no player like him, ever. I don't know if there ever will be a player like him. A pass-first superstar who also is going to be maybe the leading scorer in the history of the game. Right? Just think about that. A pass-first Hall of Famer who might be the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game. Imagine if Magic Johnson averaged 28 points per game for his career for 18 years. That's what you'd have. But LeBron's a better defender, better rebounder. Magic's a better, floor leader, in my opinion, better passer. But LeBron is a willing passer. And this, I don't know if his personality is going to change when the deeper they get into the postseason. Because to me, Anthony Davis has to be the star. Anthony Davis has to put up 30 a night, 35 a night. And it's up to LeBron to make sure that he gets into that great rhythm. You find him in good positions. You get him some baskets here. You forget how great Anthony Davis can be. Because he was that in New Orleans, just nobody was watching New Orleans play. But he is, he can do everything there. He doesn't have the handle. I was looking at, and I always maintain he was the Greek freak before the Greek freak. This ability to be that tall and be able to, and he's a better shooter than the Greek freak. He's not a better ball handler, but he's got a wonderful shot, great touch. And that ability to get into the paint, great defender as well. Anthony Davis has to be great. And I feel like Paul George has to be great for the Clippers. Chris Middleton has to be great for the Bucks. You know, with the Raptors, Kyle Lowry has to be great. You know, Pascal Siakam. You know, like you have these guys where you go, one guy's not going to do it. You need to have somebody else who is going to be great. Not good, not very good, but great. Russell Westbrook and James Harden must be great. The Blazers' backcourt must be great. Porzingis and Luka must be great if you're going to advance. You know, the 76ers, can you have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid be great? And I doubt it. Kemba Walker is not the same. So it's got to be Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum must be great if you're going to do some damage here. Because one guy is not going to lead you. And as great as LeBron has been, he's always needed help. You needed, the other guys with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami. You needed Kyrie and Kevin Love in Cleveland. As great as Steph Curry is, he still needed Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. And then Kevin Durant, He needed help to win his championships. You're not winning a title by one person. Bill Russell was surrounded by, I believe, seven or eight other Hall of Famers in his career. Go back and look. I think seven or eight of the... So eight of the 12 guys on the roster became Hall of Famers. Can't do it alone. But you must be great. And Anthony Davis has to be great. Who's calling in, Todd?
Mr. Dan Dockich from Indianapolis.
What does Dockich want?
I guess he wants to find out why we're not giving enough love to the Pacers and T.J. Warren and what run they may go on.
Doesn't he have his own radio show?
You would think.
I mean, what's he want to tell us?
He said he always has time for you and he wants to get into that.
Oh, he's got time for me. Do I have to have time for him?
It'd be nice.
He's going to tell me about T.J. Warren and he knew T.J. Warren was going to be great. T.J. Warren's the Michael Jordan of the bubble.
He's very excited about these Pacers.
This isn't going to keep anybody in their car if I say Dan Dockich joins us
now. Probably not, but he's got that personality. He's fun to listen to when you guys talk.
I love Dockich. All right, we'll take a break here. The UConn head coach, Randy Edsall, on why UConn decided to mail it in and not have a football season. And Noda Begay from Golf Channel will join us. Tiger has changed his putter. We'll ask Noda why. All of that coming up here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. More phone calls coming up. We'll check in with the Connecticut head football coach, Randy Edsall. I don't know who made the decision for UConn to shut down their football program. I know that they're spinning this, that this is about the health and safety of the kids. I think it's the health of the athletic department. Now, it could be both, but if you don't have anybody to play, then it's kind of hard to have a season. And how costly would football be for Connecticut? I think that's why they were shutting this down. Noda Begay will join us on loan from Golf Channel. He is the popular host of the Dan Dockich Show, which bears his name, Dan Dockich, on ESPN 1070, The Fan in Indianapolis, who wants to call in and, I guess, tell us all about his Indiana Pacers and why we should be talking about them. Good morning, Dan.
What are you talking about? I just sent you a text. I'm listening to all this nonsense today, and I didn't hear anything about the Pacers. I'm hearing about teams like Portland, who can't beat anybody all year. But everybody likes the one guy, Lillard, so you go nuts on that. I'm listening to all these teams, and I'm sitting to myself, Dan is a basketball guy. Dan Patrick is a guy that professes to know basketball. So I just sent you a text. How could there be no talk of the Pacers, who have been, by the way, the smartest team I have seen in terms of coaching and offensive basketball in the rebooted NBA for certain, but maybe all year long.
I just don't know how healthy they are, Dan.
That's a problem. That is a problem. That's why I say coaching. You know what? Sabonis needs to take a shot in his heel and let's go. I mean, deer antler spray cured my plantar fasciitis. It's just time to go. You got to get you just play with plantar fascia. It hurts like crazy, right? But deer antler spray takes care of that. I don't even know if it's legal, but a trainer told me to take it. I took it and it was fine. Oladipo. Went a little Paul George on us. He went a little Paul George, went a little diva on us for a little bit, but he's back. But I'm telling you, Dan, T.J. Warren, people talk about his shooting, but my man has been brilliant. I mean, he is cutting. He is backdooring. He is getting in the mid-post. I call it the Bonzi Wells area. And he made, I think there's a kid named Awangu, who is from Kansas State, that was trying to guard him the other day, and he made him look sick, made him look like a little kid. This team is good, Dan. This team is smart. This team is good. Malcolm Brogdon has missed, and this is bad. He's missed games because of 8 different ailments. He's a tad fragile, apparently. But when those 3 guys are on the court, and I'm talking about Brogdon, Oladipo, and T.J. Warren, they can go get buckets like anybody else in the league.
Yeah, but you said if they are on the floor. Yeah. You're right. If they are on the floor,
yeah.
And then you throw in T.J. Warren, you got Sabonis in there.
Yeah,
they could provide some damage.
But I'm not one of those guys that poo-poos we're a small market. I mean, I don't need to talk about it. But I'm all
well,
in.
Well, Portland's a small market, too, and I'm talking about Portland today.
Yeah, but they're not any good. I mean, they're like an 8 seed. You're talking about a Pacer team that's got a chance to be a 4 seed.
Yeah, but look at the East and look at the West.
Oh, I heard all that whining. That is. Oh, you made a great point. I think it was you that made a great point. Nobody talked about it when Bird was running through the East. Now all of a sudden, because for whatever the reason, we're all mad about LeBron's success, and I don't understand it.
Why do you sound surprised that I had a great point?
Well, it's because I know you, Dan, and it's just so rare. I'm sitting there listening to you, and I heard blah, 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 and then all of a sudden it was a great point, and I woke up, almost spilled my coffee.
Who's going to win the East, Dan?
Milwaukee.
Oh, okay. Milwaukee, so then there's really a moot point.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, I whenever I'm on your show, I get more listeners. Whenever I'm on your show, people go, damn, I heard you on Dan Patrick. I'm going to tune into your show today.
Hey,
That's why I've been begging you.
What happened? Come on. What happened with Larry Bird and the Pacers?
None of that. Larry Bird was done. Larry Bird was done traveling. I get it. You got to come up with a story, and I don't know why.
No, I'm just. Was there a divorce there that Larry? What I saw is that Larry didn't like the fact the Pacers weren't spending money. Is that?
Yeah. That's not. That's absolutely not true.
Okay.
Right. Let's be honest. Everybody doesn't like something about their employee, okay? And he may not have liked that, but that's not the reason he stepped down. And Larry's been very upfront. He's like, look, you know, when he coached, he said, I'm only coaching for 3 years because that's all players want to listen to you is 3 years. And when he was a general manager here locally, he always talked about when he knew it was time to get out when he couldn't travel because he was a guy, Larry Bird was a guy that would sit in the front row at Portsmouth. Dan, and I was there. I've been there. I've seen him. He sits in the front row of Portsmouth while everybody's talking to each other. Larry was working, and Larry would fly out. And Larry, he literally had his back was such that he couldn't do what he wanted to do, and he said it the entire time he was here. When it gets too much, and I know that Kevin and Chad Buchanan and the rest are ready to go, I'm out. I'm gone. I'm going to stay around and be an advisor if they need me, but I'm gone. And then I read that stuff, and I'm like, number one, why do we even bring that up? Because the Pacers will spend. It's never really been an issue. It's just who – the deal with spending, Dan, as you well know, is two-sided. Like, I can say, Dan Patrick, I'm the Pacers. I want to sign you, which I never would, but I could say that, and you say, well, I don't want to go there. It's two-sided. It's like recruiting. Just because you offer money doesn't mean people are coming. And Paul George, whatever Paul George says,
nonsense. What you're talking about, recruiting and offering money here. Wow. All right. You got signed. I didn't know that happened. Hey, I got to go here.
Goodbye.
All right, that's Dan Dockage, host of the Dan Dockage Show on ESPN 1070, The Fan in Indianapolis. I thought he was going to say the Pacers will win the East. I thought it was a big buildup there. Who's going to win? Oh, Milwaukee. And then just because they offer you money doesn't mean you're going to go to that school. I think he threw that in as well. Yes, McLovin.
By the way, Indiana only won in basketball because they were in the Big Ten, a football conference, all those years. Just wanted to point that out. Where he's talking about how the East, and he was ripping my point about the East and the West.
Now you got the Hoosiers mad at you, McLovin. Good luck with that. Randy Edsall, Connecticut football coach, on why they decided not to play, and Noda Begay from the Golf Channel.